you're known as the king of Telluride. What was your first year going to Telluride?
Our first year being Newgrass Revival, we first went in 1975, which was the second festival. And some of the promoters, which was originally a band called the Fall Creek Band, they had seen us at the Winfield, Kansas festival the fall before that, and then they wanted to hire us. So we were the first band that they had their festival in 74, but we were the first band that they hired that wasn't from Colorado, that wasn't local, you know, just around Telluride and the mountains community. So, yeah, we went out there, and we immediately made friends with, you know, the promoters and the people in the town. Of course, it was a very, very small town back then. There wasn't a paved road then, and it was, but as soon as we started playing there, we realized we had found an audience that we'd been looking for, this kind of audience that was really open to any kind of music, and maybe I've often wondered if it doesn't have anything to do with the wide open spaces, just the open attitude that people had. And now, of course, that festival has grown so much over the years. This year is the 38th festival, and it will be my 37th consecutive.
Wow. So now, is that where Strength in Numbers came together, was around Telluride? Is that?
Well, it's in a way, Telluride definitely is part of Strength in Numbers history, but we really got started here in Nashville because Edgar Meyer had hired the other four guys in Strength in Numbers to play on one of his, his first record. And back then, there was the festival that went on here in Nashville. It was a wonderful festival called the Summer Light Festival with different stages and what have you. And so Edgar put us together to play a set with him. So we were originally called Edgar Meyer and Friends. And we would play, I think we did it more than once on Legislative Plaza stage. But then, we started doing it. We told the promoter to tell you right about it. So we started doing it out there. And for a while they called us the Telluride All-Stars, and then we realized the five of us wanted to make a record together for NCAA Master Series. We actually had planned on calling ourselves Telluride, but we found out another group already had that name, so we thought Strength in Numbers was appropriate for us.
So you've been on Sugar Hill Records now quite a while, and you've done 8 solo albums, if I'm not mistaken, and 6 of them on Sugar Hill Records?
they're all on Sugar Hill, except for the very first one that was called Late as Usual, and that was on Rounder Records. But that was done way back when I was still in Newgrass Revival. And I've been very happy with Sugar Hill. They've treated me very well.
Circles Around Me was your last album, right? You know, the fact that you did that track where you were able to reunite with Courtney Johnson, that must have been quite a thrill.
Well, it really was, and that's thanks to Garth Fundis, who, you know, was one of the producers of the Newgrass Revival, and we're very good pals. Garth owned the Sound Emporium, and I was thinking about having, I knew I wanted to fiddle a banjo duet, but then Garth and I were talking. He said, you know what, I found some old tapes downstairs of a couple of fiddling banjo duets with you and Courtney. And I got so excited. And then, of course, we had to go through, for lack of a better term, what I call the tape-making process to make sure the tape could be played without disintegrating because, you know, it hadn't been played since 1976.
Right.
Which is when we cut that duet. So we went through the tape restoration process and then, you know, transferred it to digital, and much to my delight. There were two tunes. One of them I thought that I played pretty poorly on, but the other one sounded good, brought a smile to my face. It was really nice. The nice little hop Courtney had who's playing, getting to hear that again. It's like hearing him, you know, play a tune you've never heard before, only that many years later since 1976. So, yeah, I was thrilled about that.
In 2009, you were awarded the Lifetime Achievement for Instrumentalist Award from the Americana Music Association. What an honor.
Well, I mean, it really is, because I feel like I'm still learning, and hopefully that doesn't mean I'm over. Always thanks to Jed Hilly for all the work he does for Americana music, and where Americana gives us all a market to be in, and Americana encompasses so many different styles. That's what I love about it. It's not limited to one style of music or or songs, or, you know, it can include instrumentalists, and it can include bluegrass, or, you know, folk music, rock and roll. I mean, you know, certain people have called Bruce Springsteen Americana. I just think it's great for the music world to have Americana music.
So you've recorded so many records and played on so many sessions, you know, with other artists, and then you've played so much live. Do you have a preference for playing live or playing in the studio?
I guess the most fun is to play live and to get the immediate, you know, to hear the audience reaction, because that sort of feeds us on. But we're entertainers through music. In other words, it isn't a dance show or a large production, but we. And that's the story of really of Americana style music. We entertain through our music, but really, I tend to like playing live more, just because it's spontaneous. And if you make a mistake, it's already gone by. You don't have to go to the control room and mistakes. But basically, I love making music more than not making music. So they're both fun for me, and because the studio is its own reward too. And live music is the thing that, and it excites me, of course, to be in a show, to be sitting in the audience as well, more than anything.
I had a friend that told me one time, Sam, that if you make a mistake, Bronson, just play the same thing exactly like that again, and they'll think it's part of the song.
Yeah. I might have done it on purpose. Some of my most exciting moments when I have the listener in music is perhaps when I'm listening to for instance, the old Allman Brothers jams and Dwayne is exploring, and sometimes you wonder if he aimed to hit that note, but then he makes more out of it.
Yeah,
you know,
he goes with
it. A whole new phrase of something he might not have ever played before.
With all these great musicians that you've been blessed to play with, is there anybody you always wanted to play with that you haven't yet?
Oh, there's lots of people. but I have been fortunate to play with a lot of my heroes. And I'd love to play with Eric Clapton sometime. I was sitting in the audience watching Jeff Beck recently at the Ryman. One of the greatest shows I've ever seen, ever. But I'd love to play with Jeff Beck, because, you know, we play electric in our band also, so I play the Fender Electric Mandolin sometimes, and I would give anything to stand there and hear it come right off his amp. But just recently, Sonny Landreth sat in with our band, and he's a real guitar hero to me. As you can tell, I'm a fan of guitar players as well.
So I always ask this question. Do you have any advice for any musicians out there? You've done it. You came to Nashville. Do you have any advice for somebody that's really is trying to do something with their career as a musician?
Well, you just have to be consistent and remember why you started playing music. And hopefully you started playing music for the simple reason that you love the sound of music. And so I think it's realistic as you progress as a musician to just remember that you're trying to improve as a player and singer, and if notoriety comes from that, fine, but keep your eye on your goal, which is to improve as a player and singer.
March of 2010, legislation was passed in the state of Kentucky naming your hometown, Bowling Green, Kentucky, as the birthplace of Newgrass, and you, Sam Bush, as the father of Newgrass.
Well, that's a nice honor in the state of Kentucky, and it's interesting because I can't think of myself that way. I just because I have heroes that I believe are already playing progressive style bluegrass that had already deviated from the styles of Bill Munro and Platt Scruggs and the Stanley Brothers, such as I may have mentioned earlier, the Country Gentlemen, and especially the Osborne Brothers and the Dillards, but John Duffy was a Country Gentleman. I always thought he was the father of new bluegrass. So it's a nice honor and one that I really appreciate the Kentucky legislature doing.
Do you have anything coming up? Any events? Any new recordings? Anything you want to talk about and get out there to the folks?
Actually, I'm in the process of looking through some past musical performances, because we've recorded a lot of them. In the meantime, I mean, that's one thing I'm doing. I just want to look at sort of a catalog of things to see what could also be released. But in the meantime, I'm still writing along. this week with some friends. And really, once I get more tunes assembled, then I'll know which direction we're going to record in next time.
Sam, I really appreciate it. I know you are busy, and you know, I it's an honor to talk to you. Like I said, man, for over 40 years, I've been one of your biggest fans and flying your flag. And it's funny because, you know, I know you've played all over the world, and I have too. And everywhere I go, they know Sam Bush.
Well, I'm fortunate in that way. Maybe it's the kind of thing where you just keep at it, keep doing it long enough. Everybody knows you're really serious, and you're gonna hang around.
Well, I think you're secure. I believe that. So, Sam, I appreciate it so much.